Well, it turns out to be a coronation Sunday for Jason Day as he is the 2016 Players Champion. And welcome in to a full recap edition of Golf News Net Live. I am your host, TJ Reeves. He is the owner, the purveyor, the lead writer of Golf News Net, Ryan Ballingy, back with me. You've been saying for a couple of days that Jason Day was going to take off, leave everybody behind. He didn't get to 24 under or even 20 under, but the truth of the matter is he was never really threatened down the stretch of this tournament. It was his wire to wire. Ryan, welcome in. Jason Day's the man.
He is, and I don't know if a lot of people said this last year, and they probably did when Jordan Spieth won two major championships to start the year, but they should reassess because Jason Day is the future of golf, and it's pretty apparent now. The kind of golf that he is playing, the way that he plays his complete game, he's the best player in the world, and right now it's not even all that close.
And we're going to have a lot of time to discuss what he did these 4 days at Sawgrass, at Ponte Vedra Beach, and in this unofficial fifth major. And then a little bit later on the show, we'll talk about how this lays out for the future of 2016 and the future of Jason Day's career. Let's go back to how things really got underway on Sunday in particular. Day came in this situation with a four-shot lead, and you were really wondering, could somebody make a move? Could somebody post a number that would maybe scare he or the other leaders? There were some good scores early on in the day. Justin Rose put up a good number. Eventually, Justin Thomas, seemed like the Justins were playing well. Justin Thomas put up a 65 and 10 under. But out of a group of players that were around 7, 8 under par, something like that, nobody got to a very low number to really put a threat up on the board early on in the day, Ryan.
Yeah, you would have had to get to 12, maybe 13 to make Jason Day think about it a little bit. Need to go out and two over 38, and I'm sure there was some thought in his mind, oh no, this could be getting away from me. But he played basically a perfect back nine, did exactly what a leader should do, reestablished himself, got the birdies, didn't make mistakes, and the last hole was a coronation. And here he is as the Players' Champion. He's got three wins this year. He has two wire-to-wire wins in stroke play events. He is dominating on Pete Dye golf courses, and I've mentioned this before in other places, that Jason Day just loves Pete Dye golf courses, and so just so happens that you play the most Pete Dye golf courses of any designer on the PGA Tour. So good news for Jason Day, and he did exactly what a guy who's playing for a wire-to-wire win had to do to win, and he made it look easy, and it's not.
Horses for courses, and he was in this instance. And I like what you said last there. He really played the final three holes strategically, making sure that he stayed away from the water on the par 5 16th, the island green 17th, then blasted that 2-iron down 18 because he basically knew he had this thing in hand. You and I kind of made reference a couple of nights ago on Golf News Net Live about knowing the situation, knowing where you stand. I mean, he clearly knew with at least a couple of holes left that he was in front by three or four shots, and you got to play those final three holes smartly, right? I mean, that was obvious with how he played them.
Time and score is important. I mean, it is in every sport. It is in golf. You have to know time and score. And he knew he had three holes left. But kudos to him for still playing his game plan. That there's kind of a weird dichotomy there. You got to know when you're in the lead. You've got to know when you've got this thing in hand not to do something dumb. But you also have to stick with your game plan. You can't all of a sudden change up what you've tried to accomplish throughout the course of the week, because for whatever reason, golfers, when they try to do that, make mistakes. So good on Day to know, okay, I'm way ahead. I don't have to do anything outrageous. I just have to kind of play stock shots from here to the house, and I'm going to win. And he did that successfully. The 2-iron on 18 is incredible. I mean, to hit that far, that high, with that kind of command, that is a deadly weapon. And I know we used to marvel at Tiger Woods' Stinger 2-irons. This is better than that was.
Yeah, and it will serve him well when we start talking about major championships, Oakmont, Troon, those courses later in the summer, to be able to hit that 2-iron. So he finishes off with a 1-under par 71 and 15-under for the championship and a 4-shot win for Jason Day. Again, it's Golf News Net Live in the aftermath of the Players' Championship. won by a man in Jason Day that has now won 7 times in his last 17 starts on the PGA Tour and worldwide in majors. Incredible, the role that he is on. It's almost Tiger-esque. So again, we're going to have a lot of superlatives for Jason Day, but that is staggering. Ryan Ballingy, to you. How surprised are you that out of those final three groups, Hideki Matsuyama playing with Jason Day, Ken Duke, Alex Chayka, Kevin Chappell, Francesco Molinari, and nobody really made him? I mean, Chappell eventually got back in the picture with a couple of late birdies and got to 11 under, but nobody really made a move out of the last three groups. Did that really surprise you?
Not entirely. I mean, given what we saw yesterday, you kind of figured it was going to be hard to make a move, even if the PGA Tour step back things from the edge a little bit. Frankly, they were over the edge yesterday, and they stepped it back a little bit, and you had a good number of players that were under par. But if you look at Justin Rose, who shot 6 under 66, and you look at Justin Thomas, who shot 7 under 65 today, beyond those guys, your best round was 68, and that went to Matt Kuchar, who finished in a tie for third. So, you know, you're kind of looking at this thinking there's room to get better, but among the guys that were with the later tee times, when you look at Ken Duke, you look at Matsuyama, again, Molinari, you know, those guys didn't really do anything. And I think they realized the stage that they were on, and maybe they're just not quite ready for it yet. Those are not bad finishes. I mean, to finish tied for third, Kevin Chappell, who's going to win sometime this year on the PGA Tour, you can pretty much book that, finishes alone in second, had a very nice weekend for himself in these conditions. But none of them ever made it look like Jason Day was going to have to sweat. And I think that goes to tell you the kind of intimidation that he has, how difficult this golf course was playing, and how good Jason Day is right now, that he was able to kind of, like a bully, hold those guys with the palm of his hand so far away that they couldn't hit him. And that was perfect golf. I mean, there's really not a whole lot more to say about it other than Jason Day played a perfect week of golf.
Well, and especially on that back nine where there are some trouble spots, and he found some trouble with some errant shots, he would still be able to get up and down a couple of times. Putter worked well a couple of times. Great putt on 17. Could have very easily been a three putt on 17. Again, he knows the things in hand basically when he hit the green on 17, but that's a great two putt from where he was. He just wasn't going to give anybody hope.
There's no panic. There's no panic in anything that he does. And part of that is confidence. Part of that is ability. And when it comes together and both are firing, there's really not a whole lot any we can do about it, considering all of the things that Jason Day has going for him in terms of physical talents. I mean, to hit the ball 330 off the tee with a 3-wood, 290 with a 2-iron, driver's optional. I mean, he really doesn't even need driver on most golf courses. And with the short game that he has right now and how well he is putting the ball, and that may be something that goes away over time, but I don't see that happening. And if that's the case, it's going to be a long few years for the PGA Tour, because we're looking at the guy who is not going to replace Tiger. Don't get me wrong. Tiger is Tiger, and Jason Day is Jason Day. But to win 7 times in 17 starts, and you're getting better, you're not getting worse, you're getting better. That's scary.
You know, I thought it was interesting, too, while we wax poetic about the 2016 Players' Champion, Jason Day, that he talked in his pre-round media session in the media center about, he was directly asked, when did it click? You had come so close to winning on the PGA Tour, narrow miss here, narrow miss there. He had to pause. Ryan, I know you know this. He had to pause for about 10 seconds to try to pinpoint a spot where it really did click. He then talked about a certain event that he lost where he said, I'm not going to have this feeling anymore. I'm going to find a way to get through it. But boy, whatever clicked when it did about a year and a half ago and he won in San Diego, it keep on clicking, keep on eating the same food, staying in the same places when you come back to these tournaments, dressing the same way, because all of it has now come together with his game to be able to consistently win. I mean, it's difficult to win one time out on tour. It's difficult to win a major in your career. He has gotten it to the point, not unlike Spieth a year ago, where he's making it look a whole lot easier than it actually is. What a great compliment to how magnificently he's played. He's making this look a whole lot easier than what it really is.
Yeah, and Jason Day has a higher ceiling than Jordan Spieth does. That's just the reality of it. I mean, he just hits the ball further. He's stronger. And that makes golf courses a whole lot easier. You can argue that their short games are very similar. I can understand that argument. But Jason Day from tee to green just makes golf easy. And hitting 8 irons and 9 irons into par fives makes golf a whole lot easier. Hitting wedges into 450-yard holes makes golf a whole lot easier. And he's not getting any weaker. He's going to play golf like this for 10 or 12 more years. So, and technology will continue to improve, so this won't have a drop-off effect for him. So we can look forward to, barring some kind of calamity, a lot of this very similarly. And Jason Day is a creature of habit, as you mentioned, TJ. He has decided that he's going to do things the way that work. He's not going to mess with success. He's going to take the time that he needs. He's not going to give into all these kinds of opportunities to make extra money on the side with sponsor obligations, get taking on way too many corporate opportunities. He knows the time for him to succeed is now. It's really for the next 6 or 7 years to win his major championships. He's going to do that now, and then he can go cash in later. He's got a great game plan, a great team around him, a great family, and none of them are going to let him deviate from what he wants to accomplish. I think that's very, very important and understated.
Well, and look, and I will say this too, and I know what you mean. He has been dominant, but Rory McIlroy has been dominant recently. Ricky Fowler has shown flashes. Jordan Spieth certainly had a phenomenal year last year and is 22 years old. So this is going to be a lot of fun to watch these guys sort it out, and you can probably include Bubba Watson in that group as well, who has won a bunch over the course of the last 3 or 4 years in and around these great players that are going to be fun to watch for years to come and challenge each other in all these different conditions. But clearly this weekend belonged to Jason Day. Really beginning to end, wire to wire. What are you you were saying to me, seventh time now we've seen a wire to wire. This is the first one since Tiger Woods of 2013, wire to wire, correct, on being able to do this beginning to end at TPC Sawgrass?
Yeah, and to another point about McIlroy and Spieth and Fowler and the other guys that could kind of make a run at it in fits and starts, those guys all have glaring problems in their games. That's relatively speaking, right? I mean, they're all incredible players. They're all complete players. But relative to Jason Day, Jason Day does not have a glaring weakness. Rory McIlroy is a streaky putter at best. Oftentimes, he's a lousy putter. You have Jordan Spieth, who just isn't all that long. And he's a great player from inside 150, but on golf courses where that's not going to happen all that often, he can struggle. He can make bad decisions, and he can press. If you look at Ricky Fowler, he's just not consistent enough yet. That could change, but he's not consistent enough yet with every facet of the game to be able to contend week to week. You can look at Bob Watson, he's 37. He's not getting any younger. You can look at Adam Scott, he's getting older, getting into his mid-30s. Those guys' best days are behind them. And you've got Jason Day sitting here who hits the ball longer than anybody or as long as anybody. He's got the best short game right now. He's first or second in terms of putting. It doesn't even matter what the statistics say. I can tell you that's with it. That's the truth. And so what is the thing he's not going to be good at? What's the thing he's not going to be able to do? And if he keeps this up and doesn't mess with success, which is what he likes, then there's no reason for me to believe all of a sudden any of those 3, 5, 6, 7, 10 guys that we think are either as good or could be as good are going to get up on that same podium as him anytime soon.
Yeah, he's been amazing. That's the voice of Ryan Ballingy. TJ Reeves with you. It's Golf News Net, live in the aftermath of Jason Day's four-shot victory to capture the 2016 Players Championship. We'll hear from the winner coming up and much more. Stand by for that. Ryan, hang in there. We're going to play some agree or don't agree about this final round of the Players and also moving forward to the major championship season. We'll do all of that coming up. Stay with us as we continue in the aftermath. It is a great day for Jason Day. Yet another win for him, this time a Players Championship. We'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, I got off to a great start, you know, shooting 63-66. And I said that, you know, at the start of the week, 14 under is the average score that wins here. Got it to 15 and just got it back to 15 over the weekend because we had some serious tough conditions. But I just wanted to win this so bad. Like I said in the media, yesterday, this could possibly push me over to getting into the Hall of Fame one day. And I'm just glad and honored to be a players' champion.
Yeah, there's your champion. In the aftermath of the 2016 Players, Jason Day, we say again, 7 victories in his last 17 starts, and these are not, oh, by the way, tournaments when you're talking about PGA championships, World Golf Championship match play titles, Bay Hill, and now the Players, Canadian Open sprinkled in there as well. Incredible, the accomplishments. And he adds one more to the list. We are back in on Golf News Net Live. Great to be with you. By the way, you can reach this show at Golf News Net on Twitter, as well as Golf News Net on Facebook. You can also tweet at us at the hashtag GNN Live for Golf News Net, GNN Live. I'm TJ Reeves. The lead writer of GolfNewsNet.com is Ryan Ballingy, who's back with us. And again, for those that are just joining us, whether you're hearing the stream on TuneIn or however you're accessing the program, we had so many you almost run out of superlatives, don't you, for what Jason Day was able to do in a dominant weekend that began with a record-tying 63 on Thursday and rolled right through. I think the big storyline Sunday never really threatened on Sunday. It never got below, what, a three-shot lead. It may have been two at one juncture where he was putting and trying to keep it at three or something, but he was never really threatened, certainly in the last 90 minutes to 2 hours of this thing. It was his.
Yeah, and he knew that, and he has such great ability to play from ahead that, you know, it's hard to win wire to wire. It's really hard to live with the pressure of leading after 18, 36, 54, and trying to finish 72 holes as the leader of a golf tournament. But he knows how to do it. He knows how to manage himself. He knows when to be aggressive and when not to be, when his game is on and when he's just trying to hang on. And we saw that yesterday. He just had to hang on for a while until he could get to the place with his swing and on the course where he could be aggressive. He did that. He did that again today. He came out kind of flat, and not that he opened up the tournament for many guys because no one came after him, but he created a window, and then he found a way to close it. And then when he knew it was closed, he didn't let it back open. And that ability to play from ahead, that closing ability, I think some of that is the influence of Tiger Woods. These two guys have become a little bit closer over the last couple of years. And Jason Day has turned to Tiger for advice on that killer mentality, that killer instinct. And you're seeing it. You're seeing it in the three wins that he's had this year. No mercy. There is no, we'll just get to the finish line. It is, I'm going to finish, and I'm going to step on all of you and make you realize just how good I am. And not in an arrogant way. He's just doing his business, and you just have to look at him and tip your cap because you know he's better than you, and he's not changing.
Again, by the numbers, Day did have a 2-over par front nine for his first nine, but then put this thing away with 3-under on the back, birdies at 10, at 12, and then at 16 when it was basically wrapped up. At that point, he increased himself to a 4-shot lead. Once again, it ends up being a 4-shot lead for Jason Day. So we've had fun doing this throughout the weekend, and let's go one more time on several topics right now, back and forth officially.
It's time for Agree or Don't Agree.
Okay, Ryan Ballingy, to you, this would imply that Jason Day is the odds-on favorite to win the U.S. Open at Oakmont. We do have a few weeks away. Do you agree this sets up now for him to be the favorite in every one of the majors, and we're expecting that he's, if not going to win one, at least contend for most, if not all, of the majors now? Is that the expectation moving forward? And would we be disappointed? Do you agree we're disappointed if he doesn't win at least another major this year?
I think that has to be the case. I mean, I think you got to look at Oakmont as a great opportunity for him. Again, he's the first or second best putter on the planet on a long golf course, on a firm and fast U.S. Open, and I expect there to be a little bit of superintendent's revenge from last year at Chambers, but not drastically so. You know, he can get around Oakmont with 3-wood and 2-iron, and maybe even a little less than that on some parts of it. I mean, the eighth hole at Oakmont is going to play as a par 3, about 300 yards. That's a stock 2-iron. A 2-iron into the green. That's fine for him. He's happy with that all day long. And so I think he's the favorite at Oakmont, and significantly so. You look at Troon, the Open's a little bit of a crapshoot. And you look at Baltusrol, which is right up his alley with how straight he drives the golf ball and how well he's putting it. Under tight circumstances, he should do extremely well. So I think at least in two of the last three majors, we should not be shocked that he wins. And frankly, there should be an expectation that he's up there until the end.
one thing you were saying in the last segment, and again, it's very easy in the aftermath of a run like what we're seeing for us to coronate somebody every time there is a major and et cetera. And look, injury could come into play. He's battled vertigo. He battled vertigo last year, a couple of different tournaments, including the U.S. Open. He's had some back issues. Yep. And the putter can come and go. We've seen that with different players. I mean, Tiger is the most out of this world example of the putter never seemed to go during his entire run, but the putter can come and go. Those could be the only factors, though, at least in the short term, that could maybe cost Jason Day. Injury, yes. Putter, maybe, if there's a week. Other than that, I agree with you. You got to consider him the favorite for the rest of the major season, no matter what the talent is on the rest of these on the rest of the tour.
Yeah, and you're right about the injuries and the vertigo. Of course, those things can happen. You never know what's going to happen. Obviously, with a guy that swings with this kind of speed, this kind of torque, he's bound to break down at some point. So, you know, I said earlier, well, he could play this way for 12 years. He could play this way for 12 years if he takes care of himself. If he doesn't take care of himself and gets too aggressive and gets too stuck in his ways, kind of like Tiger, then that could break down a whole lot sooner. But I'm sure he realizes that. If you look back at the history of the greatest players in major championship history, the bulk of them hit their peak at 32, 33, 34 years old. So he's got plenty of time before he gets to that point. So that gives him anywhere between 25 to 30 majors to get that done and do what he's going to do in this sport. And then everything that happens after that, to, again, coin a phrase from Tiger Woods, it's going to be gravy. So there are always things that can happen. You never know what can happen in life that could derail somebody. But if you just kind of kept things the same, if nothing changes from here on out, then I just can't see a whole lot changing with Day being at the top of the official world golf ranking.
All right, let's go with another one.
Agree or don't agree.
So agree or don't agree, Kevin Chappell finishes solo second with a 69 in the final round. He's got to be thinking partially, we said this kind of earlier in the week when Spieth was playing with Jason Day, hey, what's wrong with me when you're not keeping up with him shooting 63? Chappell's got to be wondering, what do I have to do here? Whether it was Bay Hill, he couldn't track him down, or now it's Sawgrass. You agree or disagree, Chappell is going to break through soon. And maybe it's a tournament where Jason Day's not entered that he breaks through. What about it?
Yeah, if you think about the last 2 years, we've had Kevins who have been the kind of the talk of the tour as the next great champion, the next guy that's going to win. We had Kevin Kistner last year who did it here, got into the playoff. We've got Kevin Chappell this year who didn't make it into a playoff but finished alone in second place. A seven-figure payday is not bad, finishing four back of the winner. So that's got to be really nice for Kevin Chappell. But he's had a slew of top 10 finishes this year, a handful of them. As you mentioned, he's been the runner-up or the guy who couldn't chase down Jason Day at Bay Hill and the Players. Again, that's fine. I think Kevin Chappell knows his place in the universe. But he's starting to figure out how to get close on Sundays and stay there. And that goes a long way to building up a profile to figure out how to win, and I'm almost certain he is going to win sometime this season.
Former UCLA Bruin, you've got talent every week on the tour, and sometimes it just takes breaking through, maybe once, for you to be able to break through several times throughout your career. He has yet to break through on the PGA Tour, so we will see. I mean, one of the knocks, what do we know? We do this on the radio or on the internet. We are nowhere near the elite level of the PGA Tour. But one of the knocks going around is he can't close the deal on the weekend, that he plays his best golf Thursday, Friday, and maybe sometimes on Saturday, but not on Sunday. We'll see if that changes. Chappell certainly played great golf on this weekend, 67, 70 in those conditions on Saturday, and then 69 in the final round. That's one of the reasons why he was right there in the thick of things at the very end on this one. All right, another one on agree or disagree. I actually engaged some people on social media. And again, we'd love to have your reaction and your response. You can tweet at this program, at Golf News Net on Twitter. You could sound off as well with the hashtag GNN Live on this. I understand we were trying to manufacture some hope that somebody could catch Jason Day, but when I saw the PGA Tour tweet out the picture of Justin Thomas listing his score with a 65 and saying the words leader in the clubhouse on that, and I even heard Dan Hicks, who's a tremendous announcer, Emmy-nominated golf announcer, saying that when Chappell was about to putt, this is for the lead this is for the lead in the club. It's not the lead unless you're leading the tournament. Do you agree or do you disagree with me, Ryan Ballingy, on leader? You have to be leading.
I disagree, and this is as a competitive golfer. Leader in the clubhouse means, to me, the guy or gal that is done that has the best score. So you can't do anything to help or hurt your score. You were done, which means you're the leader in literally sitting in the clubhouse, or you should be sitting in the clubhouse. I understand your gripe with what Dan Hicks was saying. It's kind of a little melodramatic when the leader in the clubhouse is 4 or 5 shots
yes.
back the lead.
Yes.
I get that. So it's like, okay, well, we're all pretty sure at this point that Jason Day is going to win. So to be the leader in the clubhouse, it's like, yeah, you could make $1 million for a runner-up. You could make $700,000 for third place. So, you know, that matters, I guess, financially speaking. But that was a little concocted to
yes.
try to make it seem like and, that was a big opportunity.
And here's the difference. And we've seen this a few times on tour. I mean, Matt Kuchar a couple of years ago at Hilton Head posted a number and sat back and waited in the wind and the bad conditions. He was leading the tournament in the clubhouse, and no
right.
one caught him. And a couple of years ago at the Valspar in Tampa, Boo Weekly put, a 62 up on the board at the Copperhead course and was leading in the clubhouse. And eventually Kevin Streelman caught him. There wasn't a need for a playoff. Streelman caught him. So when we're you have to be leading to be termed leading in the clubhouse. Now you're gonna try to slap me on Golf News Net Live.
I understand, but just as a competitive golfer, that is you've got to be done. That you know. Let me. There's kind of a Venn diagram. So you can be the leader, and you can be the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah,
but you can't be not leading, or you can't be the leader in the clubhouse and not lead. You know,
you've tied yourself in a knot. If Justin Thomas was never tied with Jason Day, he was never leading.
But that's not what the term means. The term means, are you done? And if you're done, of everybody that's done, are you the best?
There you go.
We're the leader in the club.
That doesn't have anything to do with leading the tournament. Do
no,
you have
doesn't.
The lowest score in the club? I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
So leader in the clubhouse is, all right, you're done, and you're the best of everybody that's done. That is not a distinction. That shouldn't mean a whole lot to a lot of people unless the possibility exists that the leader – that's actually out on the golf course, if that's different than the person who's the leader in the clubhouse,
I
is
gotcha.
Going to screw it up. And I think all right. we all pretty much realized that Jason Day wasn't going to screw it up. So Justin Thomas being the leader in the clubhouse is cool and all. He had a great day today, 765, but he was not going to win this golf tournament, and no one should have under any circumstances thought otherwise.
All right, I got about 90 seconds left. Let's just put a bow on all of this. They're going to tear up the greens and several of the holes at Sawgrass. And redo the greens and redo a couple of the holes. Give me a thought here on it, what, if anything, would you like to see different or better moving forward on this setup? Go ahead, real quick, Ryan.
The change to Tiff Eagle, the new Bermuda-style grass, is going to be great. It holds up to all kinds of different weather better. Its root structure is better. You can water it more easily. It stands up to tougher conditions better. It's going to be easier for the PGA Tour to take the course to the edge and keep it there and not get unfair like we saw yesterday. The other thing that they're going to do that everyone should really, really like when they see it next year is they're going to alter the 12th hole and make it a pseudo-drivable par 4. The 12th hole is the only glaringly bad hole, in my opinion, at Sawgrass because it just doesn't serve a purpose. It should be an easy par or birdie every time, and now it'll be a risk-reward that makes it a little bit more interesting, inviting the possibility of an eagle, and I think that's a great
change.
There we go.
All right, we'll see how it goes with the setup in years to come. We know that 2016 belongs to Jason Day, yet another humongous victory, the unofficial fifth major, the Players, a four-shot victory. It was his tournament this weekend. Ryan, a final thought before we get out of here in 10 seconds or so?
We have a great opportunity to see some special golf next month at the U.S. Open, and with the way that the golf world is going with Spieth and with Day playing such great golf, Spieth's going to figure it out, I have a feeling, and we are going to get a classic at Oakmont. We're very lucky to be at this point in golf history.
Yeah, don't count out Rory. Don't count out Fowler yep. and those other guys, too. We'll see. Ryan, we had a blast on Golf News Net Live. Thank you, sir.
It was great. Thanks for setting us up with this and getting us started, and we can't wait to do it again next month.
Yeah, we will have a lot of fun around the biggest events in golf with Golf News Net Live. Again, keep track of golf 24/7, 365 on golfnewsnet.com. Also, the tune-in channel for Golf News Net. I'm TJ Reeves for Ryan Ballingy, Jason Day, the champion for the 2016 Players Championship. Thanks for being with us on Golf News Net Live.